Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. This is one of those weeks we're going to get through, right? I mean, it's going to be hot, no doubt about it. But we will get through it. And some good advice if you know anyone who perhaps is an out-of-towner, no hiking after about 10 o'clock in the morning is probably the best advice. Certainly discourage anybody from doing any hiking, because we had a couple of incidents last year right about this time during what was then a pretty bad heat wave, where we lost a couple of, I think they were from Germany, a couple German tourists. So spread the word, stay inside, try to stay cool. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got our podcasts and live streaming on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line open for us at 790-2040. For your calls and questions, we'll begin with our Monday Political Face-Off. The Monday Political Face-Off today features commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, a well-known Tucson attorney and former president of the Arizona Border Regents. John ran for governor in 2010, of course, as a Republican. Vince Robigo is with us. Vince is a longtime Democratic Party activist. He's former Arizona Attorney General candidate from 2010. Vince heads up the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. Our Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They do such a great job, Moe and his family, on all of your custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, certainly all the picture framing. I had an item that I picked up Saturday from Moe, and I swear to God, it was as good as anything that you would see in a museum. He does that kind of quality. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Mr. Munger, how was your weekend?
It was a fabulous weekend. Talked to all my kids.
Had a happy Father's Day. Everybody wishing you
great time.
Nice greetings. And Vince Robigo, the family was very good to you.
Yes, they were. It was a wonderful Father's Day, and certainly a belated Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
That's right.
Vince, what do you see? I know there's been a host of the president's done a host of proclamations and signings, but from a legislative point of view, is that agenda and the portfolio kind of meager at this point?
Well, I think everybody, pundits left and right, agree that there have not been any legislative accomplishments. House passed their version, which is not certainly, it's not a legislative accomplishment until you get a bill signed. They sent something over to the Senate and regarding health care, for example. I like to call it the take away your health care bill. And they had a big celebration, and Trump was applauding all the House members and Speaker Ryan for all the good work. It appears to have been dead on arrival in the Senate, and I know the Senate is now crafting something in secret, which they've been criticized by folks on both sides of the aisle, trying to do their own version, and so you haven't seen any accomplishments. And just to sort of finish on that point, now Trump is blasting the version that came out of the House, and he called it mean, mean, mean when he was talking about he was happy that the Senate was working on it now. So That's where we are. We've seen a lot of rollback of executive orders, those sorts of things where the president can just sign a piece of paper and say, we're getting rid of this policy. I'm pulling out of the climate change treaty. Things that don't require Congress to vote.
As far as
Congress, there have been no legislative accomplishments to speak of.
John, is this disturbing to you?
Well, number one, it's not the truth.
Okay.
There have been about 12 to 15 bills passed by Congress just to clean up regulations. He signed those. Those have gone through the House and the Senate. So he is cleaning up regulations not by fiat, but by vote of Congress. He is working with the Senate and the House. And it's true, they haven't passed these bills yet, but my goodness, we're in this for what, 150 days?
Yeah, this is the 6 month, pretty much. I think this week would be 6 month. Five months.
Obamacare. Now remember that when Obama was elected, he had 60 members of the Senate. We have 52. He had 60 members of the Senate and 25 more in the House, and it took him over a year to get Obamacare passed. I mean, what's the problem? You know, this is all artificial stuff. Yeah, we've set an aggressive agenda for ourselves, but it took a year and I think a year and 3 months to get Obamacare passed with 60 members of the Senate. So you were filibuster proof. People are complaining because now less than 6 months into the Trump administration, we haven't cleaned up Obamacare yet. What's the big deal? And you also measure a president not only on the legislation that is passed and that he signed, and he signed some really good stuff on regulations, helping deregulate across the board, but he's done a lot of things on the international scene. He has gone to Saudi Arabia. He's done a very important thing, putting together a virtual NATO amongst the friendly countries in the Middle East. That's huge. It's the first time it's ever been done. And he's completely reformulated that working relationship. And he's putting the Middle East in a position where those people are positioned to fight the battles that need to be fought. We will back them up as we need to back them up. He's done that. He has promulgated over the strenuous objections of the Democrats and the mainstream media a temporary 90-day travel ban so that we could get organized with regard to who's coming into our country so that we don't suffer the same problems that Britain and France and Germany are suffering.
So now, you see a different narrative than
I see him. I think it's way, way, way premature.
What do you think?
To start saying that he hasn't accomplished anything.
Well, you know, it's just not me is the one that is saying this. You're looking at political scientists of all stripes that examine these things. So you can look at, for example, Professor John Frendreis from Loyola. Talks about they've asked, well, where are the accomplishments here? And they've compared them to presidents like Truman and others. They look at all the presidents. Mm-hmm. And they say that the items that, for example, John is referring to, that those, to the extent you have any legislative piece assigned, that those certainly are not legislative accomplishments or landmark things. For example, you want to get into the weeds. John talks about he's gotten rid of regulations. These bills got signed. It's actually essentially this thing called the Congressional Review Act that makes it easy for certain regulations that were passed within 6 months prior to the presidency. I think it's 6 months. I could be off on the date. That they essentially say, we're going to vote to get rid of those regulations that Agency A passed within a certain time period.
They're going farther back than that.
And no, but there's a specific law, and that period is now over.
But they're going farther back than that.
But they have not the bills that have been passed. Yes, were the Congressional Review Act. And if you look it up, anybody here, I invite all the listeners, look it up. Research it yourself, and you'll see that there have been no legislative accomplishments to speak of other than using these processes, for example, to roll back, and as well as a few the budget bills, for example. Other than that, there haven't been any.
You
can talk all day long, but where are they? Where's the beef?
The funny thing about this bill is the Democrats started saying this 30 days into his term, and they're still saying it. And it took Obama. We're talking about big changes. We're talking about a health care law. We're talking about major tax reform. These are visionary items. They take time. And, you can get your panties all in a bunch if you want, but these things take time. And, they want to have him judged less than 6 months into his term when he's got less votes in Congress than Obama had. And it took Obama a year and 3 months to get Obamacare passed, which is the only thing he did. If you want to go back and look at legislative accomplishments, what did Obama accomplish? Nothing, other than Obamacare. Hmm.
Look, the reality is Bill is trying John is trying to do the wave of the hand. But when you look at what hasn't been done, when you had a Congress that for years took hundreds of votes to try to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. Hundreds of votes, and you had a president that said, you know, within the first day or first 30 days, we're going to get rid of this. And he controls. The Republicans control.
He doesn't control
they
Congress.
Republicans control Congress.
That's true.
And he's a Republican president. And with hundreds of votes to try to repeal the Affordable Care Act under their belt,
so
with their intense focus,
he's got them
on his side as the Republican Party. Hmm. And here we are in June. And he is mired down in controversy after controversy. And the foreign affairs aspects, you had this amazing use of force in Syria with the bombings, yet no actual foreign policy to follow. You have him attack the Chinese, and then he has to turn around and rely on the Chinese to deal with Kim Jong-un. And you have these missteps then with Qatar, where there are American troops, and he's on one hand attacking them, but on the other hand, say, hey, stop. Don't try to solve
all the problems.
He's trying to solve everything with these misguided,
all the problems
both,
that
mouth,
Obama,
both sides of his mouth shooting off.
That Obama left us.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, John, so hold your thought.
Let me finish.
Okay, finish. Go ahead.
No, I'll wait for your break.
Okay, thank you. We are taking the break on the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger, Vince Robigo. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, the candidates are lining up to battle for the right to challenge Congresswoman Martha McSally. We'll talk with the latest Democrat to get in the race, plus the cradle-to-career education program that's starting to make a real difference. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger is here and Vince Robigo. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John, I'm kind of sorry. I apologize. Sort of cut you off there.
Oh, no problem.
We did want to hear from the wonderful people who make this program possible.
I agree. I know.
There you
Bill,
go.
I'll never interfere with your profit.
There you go. Thank you, sir. But you were saying...
I was saying, look, you know, we're not even into this 6 months. I pointed out to your listening audience that even with a filibuster-proof Senate, it took Obama 14, 15 months to get Obamacare through. This is heavy-duty stuff. And to do that, they had to bribe certain members of the Senate. Remember the Louisiana Purchase and some of those, they gave them benefits for their outside benefits for their jurisdictions. These things take time. I get a kick out of the Democrats. They're so anti-Trump. They've been saying since Trump was in it for 30 or 60 days, oh, he hasn't done anything yet. Hey, these things take time. Give it time. You know, the legislative process is complicated, and you have a lot of different interests. It'll take time. But the things that President Trump is doing on the international scene, he's trying to clean up the mess that Obama left in Syria, which could have been prevented. He's trying to clean up the mess that Obama left in with ISIS, which never should have. You remember ISIS in Obama's view was the JV team. He didn't need to worry about them. And look at them now. They're in 30 countries.
All right.
You've got the North Korean problem. They're now a nuclear power.
Let Vince respond. Then we're going to go to Greg, who's waiting on the live line. Go ahead, Vince.
Well, you know, let me address some things that John said even before the break. So, for example, that President Obama did nothing. Well, you know, look at Dodd-Frank. And then the subsequent, the creation of the Consumer Protection and Financial Bureau. So the other thing that you need to realize is that after that first midterm election set, you know, because John's talking about, oh, they had more numbers and stuff. The reality is that was one of those two terms, mm-hmm. the end of his first term and then the rest of the years, it was one of the most obstructionist, anti-presidential Congresses ever with the Republican Party in charge eventually and always opposing the president on everything.
Just like the Democrats are doing now.
But just look how obstructionist it was. So he tries to make the comparison, but the reality is right now they're at a point in time where it is controlled by the Republican Party on all three fronts, and you have a president and you have a Congress. When you look back, they were laser focused, hundreds and hundreds of votes against the Affordable Care Act, trying to repeal it, years and years to prepare options or ideas, and then they come out with something that's essentially dead on arrival that has no public support.
That isn't Trump.
Yeah, no, but it's Trump. Trump is the one guiding it. He was the one lauding the bill, and now he's now lauding a different bill.
You want to talk about
that's
obstruction.
That's the reality of things.
The Democrats, I don't think, have voted for one bill that has been proposed by the Republicans in Congress. You know, obstruction works two ways, okay. Vince, And
because they're taking away protections.
Well,
protections
you
for
know,
people.
You
they're
know,
taking
Vince,
away people.
We all have protections. We all have our excuses.
All right, let's go to Greg on the live line. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Good. You know, I'll tell you what, Bill. I think when this Mayweather and Colin McGregor fight comes up, you could referee it.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll get out my referee shirt.
He is wearing black and white today.
Don't let him punch you, though.
No, okay.
Well, don't get between them.
I've got 4 points to make, and then I'm sure Bill's going to give you time, so please allow me to make them. First off, Israel is our best friend in the Middle East.
Right.
And until Mr. Trump took office, we know that Barack Obama was not a friend to Israel. So that's one of the most formidable things that Trump has done. We've shown his support for Benjamin Netanyahu in that area of the world. Secondly, NATO countries have been benefiting from our military presence, and as Donald Trump predicted when he was running for office, he was going to see to it that these countries that have our military start paying for our presence, and he's on the path to doing that. Thirdly, you said something, Vince, about we have no foreign policy. In the last 48 hours, a Syrian jet bombed some of the fighters that the U.S. supports in northern Syria. What did we do? We took down a Syrian jet to say, no, 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 you can't do that. How long do you think it would have taken Obama to act that swiftly?
And point four, Craig?
I'm sorry, and the last point.
Point four, yes.
The last point, we got out of the Paris Climate Agreement, and that was a good move because that crippled American industry while China pollutes their waters beyond the wildest extreme.
Okay.
Very articulately said, Greg. Maybe you should be in here sitting here for me.
All right, Vince. I see I wrote down his 4 points. Israel, NATO, your comment, he was saying you said no foreign policy and the Paris Climate Accords.
Well, let me address these, and I will as best I can, and not necessarily in the same order, and you can tell me if I'm missing some of these here.
Okay.
So first and foremost, what I said about Syria was that you saw a use of force that was both amazing in terms of its lack of prior approval, and it actually gave people, at least on the humanitarian side, some glimpse of hope, like, wow, there's going to be action that's going to be taken here with respect to the Assad regime in Syria. But what I said was that you saw no follow-up foreign policy. Using a military strike is not policy in and of itself. That's use of force. That's a strategy.
Sends a message of policy.
It doesn't send a message of policy. You can bomb whoever you want, but the reality is if you don't have a well-thought, prudent, long-range policy, right? Just using a tactic, a military strike as a tactic, that doesn't show cohesive or well thought out long range policy, and that's the point I was making.
So then Vince gets an opportunity to also mention Israel.
Well,
NATO.
Let me respond one by one.
Okay.
I'll make it very brief.
Okay,
you know, when you do something like that, you are sending a policy message.
Okay,
that's what that's about. The same as dropping the Moab bomb, the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan. That sends a message. And the message is clear.
All right. What about Israel? Greg saying that Donald Trump is a real good friend of Israel. What do you say to that, Vince?
What I would say is look at what others are saying. And I understand what his position was with respect to President Obama, but we're not looking at President Obama. We're looking at what Israel is. And certainly others have looked at how the gaffes and what has happened there. For example, when President Trump arrives in Israel and tells everyone there, I just got back from the Middle East. And then you look at things that are kept in place. At present, look at the substance. The Iran deal, the nuclear arms deal right now is still remaining in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at Jerusalem. The embassy is not moving out of Tel Aviv. The President Trump is still opposed, of course, to the building of Jewish settlements in the West Bank. So you start looking at the substance. Then you look over to Rex Tillerson, right? He didn't offer much comfort to those who believed that President Trump understood the historic importance of Jerusalem to Israelis and Jews when Tillerson said to reporters, on to the second stop, Tel Aviv, home of Judaism, right? So, you know, Tel Aviv was established in 1909 by a group of secular Jewish families, and Judaism's origin story is certainly 2,000 plus
years earlier. You're playing word games.
So when you start looking at substance, and I'm certainly no expert on these issues, but when you start looking at what is actually happening, electing a new face isn't enough.
Well,
when you go to climate change,
let me respond to that.
Okay. Real fast.
I'll make
John,
it real fast.
We are,
you know, the Israelis are not getting the message you got. The Israelis are saying thank God for Trump, and Trump has said to them, "We're going to protect you from Iran." Obama was not saying that, not with the credibility that Trump was saying. So the Israelis, Vince, I don't care what you say, the Israelis think that they're being supported.
All right. Vince, I'm not going to have time here for NATO and climate change unless you could sum it up in about 5 seconds.
Well, there's too many points to sum up
in five seconds. On those subjects.
But, you know, all I'll say is that when you have a president mired down who tells the world he's being investigated and then sends out a private lawyer to say he's not, and we are here in June with no legislative accomplishments other than regulatory rollback, which are significant. Don't get me wrong. These are significant rollbacks that are going to be very detrimental to taking away protections of the American people. We are in a very precarious place with respect to where we are.
So we have accomplished, according to Vince, significant regulatory rollbacks.
Yep.
And that is contrary to a statement we haven't accomplished anything.
Legislative.
Those are all legislative.
All right. Moe's Gallery and gentlemen, thank you very much. Hope you have a great week. Try to stay cool. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Give them a try. They do beautiful work. I know. I've been going there for many, many years. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time to focus on Arizona's most important resource, that's water. The Arizona Water Report on Buckmaster is presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. And joining us now, Karen Caesar, member of the Governing Board of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District. Karen, good to see you.
Always good to be here, Bill. Thank you.
You are dressed and ready for the hot weather. You look so cool, calm, and collected.
Oh, thank you so much.
I understand the CAP board recently approved a proposal that puts really over $5 million, $5.3 million toward water delivery infrastructure here in Tucson. What's involved with this agreement?
Well, Bill, we are really excited about this agreement with several of our subcontractors in the area. This new agreement, besides earmarking money for infrastructure, also increases opportunities for the recovery of water stored underground by the Arizona Water Banking Authority here in Southern Arizona. And the Arizona Water Banking Authority is the entity responsible for tracking recharged water statewide.
And recharge and recovery is really important. Yeah.
Yes, it's recharge and recovery is important statewide, but it's really important in Tucson because, as you know, Tucson relies on recharge and recovery rather than direct delivery for our renewable surface water, our CAP water. Recharge is simply when surface water, exempt from the CAP canal, is put into an underground aquifer for storage for later use. So this agreement, this new agreement, focuses on building the recovery infrastructure for the city of Tucson and our Northwest providers, and those include Metropolitan Water and Metropolitan Domestic Water Improvement District, or also known as Metro Water, Flowing Wells Irrigation District, and the town of Marana and the town of Oro Valley.
This is really good news. So why don't you dive a little deeper into what this agreement means?
Well, sure. So back up a little bit. In 2011, so about 6 years ago, CAP executed an agreement called the Agreement for Tucson Area Reliability. The objective of that agreement was to provide the Tucson area CAP municipal and industrial users, M&I users, system reliability when the CAP system was shut down due to canal outages. And those could be planned or unplanned. I mean, we do have an annual canal shutdown in the summer where we do repair. So, but then, of course, there's you know, things happen as well occasionally. So in lieu of terminal storage, which is a fancy word for a lake or a reservoir, which we do not have here in Tucson, unlike Phoenix has Lake Pleasant, where a lot of CAP water can be stored, Tucson stores its water underground, and the CAP, the Tucson users use one of two of the CAP's recharge projects, one at Pima Mine Road, one up in Navarre Valley, to store their water. So we did that agreement in 2011, and now we're looking at using most of that money, which hasn't been used yet, to build the infrastructure to get the water out of the ground. It's all well and good to store the water, but the day you need it, you also have to be ready to recover it and use it.
So over the last year, then, these Tucson, as you call them, the reliability partners,
yes,
Tucson Water and Northwest providers, have been working with the CAP staff, coming up with really a creative solution to this problem.
Absolutely. And it allows us to look at that unused money and bring it into the Tucson area to help our reliability partners, our water providers here in the Tucson area, make the improvements and build the infrastructure necessary to recover that water.
So specifically for the Tucson area, it would mean what?
Well, the board recently approved the use of this money. A little over half of the money is going to be used for City of Tucson to drill, equip, and connect recovery wells at the Pima Mine Road Recharge Project to recover stored CAP water.
That's down in Green Valley,
correct,
right?
Yeah, that's at one end of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 45% of the money is going to the Northwest area providers that we already identified to help them develop and construct planned CAP recharge, recovery, and delivery systems, which will help them deliver recovered CAP water to their area. And that's, again, that's more the Northwest area, Oro Valley, Marana, and the providers up there. So
the use of these kind of reliability funds for the recovery infrastructure is kind of increasing the resilience, right?
Exactly. We want to make sure that we have, you know, opportunities to, like I said, not only recharge the water, but have it when it's ready and when we need it. We want to expand the opportunities to partner with CAP wants to partner with our partners and get water stored by the Arizona Water Banking Authority as well. It's really a win-win situation for everybody involved.
Well, it's a huge project, and was pretty much everybody on board, all the jurisdictions in Southern Arizona?
Yes, they were. And there were several entities that came together to support this project. As you can imagine, you're dealing with multiple jurisdictions. You're dealing with multiple elected bodies, city councils, town councils, different water departments. And so everybody really came together to develop this project and put this agreement in place. I want to give a couple special shout-outs and acknowledgement, one to Tim Thalmuir, who's the director of Tucson Water, and one to Joe Olson, the general manager of Metro Water, because those two gentlemen really had a big leadership role in making this agreement happen.
Yeah, we've had Tim on the show. The guy's a real hard worker.
Oh, definitely.
Tucson Water.
Yeah, definitely.
He lives and dies water.
Yes,
I mean,
he does.
Terrific job.
Yes.
How about water quality standards? We haven't talked about that in a while.
Well, kind of switching gears. One of the things that that the CAP board is dealing with and addressing is water quality. We signed earlier this year the system use agreement with the Bureau of Reclamation, and that was an agreement that was a long time in coming that increases the flexibility for using our canal for other non-project water. So that's water outside the canal, and that could be for firming, wheeling, exchanges. Again, I called it then the shiny new tool in our toolbox of water management solutions. But the system use agreement called for the Bureau of Reclamation and CAWCD to establish uniform water quality standards for the introduction of any non-project water into the CAP system. And our listeners in Tucson, anybody who had been around for 20 years and remembers the debacle when we first introduced CAP into our system, when you talk about water quality.
Yeah, that was a mess.
When you talk about water quality, mm-hmm. what could go wrong?
Oh, boy, a lot
and
could.
So, a lot.
Brown water coming out of the tap.
Water quality is a very important and very serious issue, and one that sometimes gets forgotten. But to that end, the CAP board president, Lisa Atkins, established a water quality task force so that we can review the legal, operational, and policy considerations related to introducing this non-project water into the system. And then the recommendations of the task force will go forward for full CAP and Bureau of Reclamation board approval.
Where are they in that process right now, Karen?
Well, they're about halfway. They've just held their second meeting of a four-meeting process. And first couple meetings is a lot of information gathering and figuring out what the parameters are. And then they'll have a couple more meetings before they formulate a recommendation. And obviously, water quality is an issue of concern to everybody, particularly people in the Tucson area. So we are receiving a lot of input and information from a lot of our stakeholders and our subcontractors.
And I know you want to hear from people from Southern Arizona, and I guess you have, haven't you?
Yes, yes. Southern Arizona is always well represented in any issue that the board has before it, but definitely the perspectives of Southern Arizona were well represented at our meeting. People from Oro Valley and Metro Water were there, as well as City of Tucson. And my fellow board member, Mark Taylor, is an active member of this task force.
So what's next?
Well, at the end of this meeting, a request to the stakeholders was made for proposals on what the standards should look like. These proposals are going to be discussed August 17th, and more information on that process as always, can be found on our website. And I also want to remind all your listeners that all of our meetings that are held at CAP headquarters are available to listen or watch live streaming. So you can go to the CAP website and check in on any of these meetings if you want to see all the nitty gritty details of water quality discussed.
Time for one quick item. Anything else underway that we should know about, Karen Caesar?
Well, sure. We've been meeting with the Tucson CAP subcontractors to discuss possible partnerships to implement future recovery, which is retrieving the water from our underground storage facilities. And the Tucson area providers have invested significantly in large-scale recharge and recovery operations, and they're set up as ideal recovery partners. So we're trying to leverage infrastructure that's existing and always continue to reach out and work with all our partners.
Probably the best way to find out more about CAP is to start at the website, right? CAP-AZ.com?
Yes, sir. That's it. And you can get information on our board meetings. All of our documents are there available to review. And again, that is your portal to the live link to our board meetings.
So you've got live streaming of the board meetings.
Yes. Yeah.
And how often does the board meet?
We meet monthly, although we take a break in July. So we won't meet again officially until the beginning of August. But we meet on the first Thursdays of the month. Our meetings start at 10 a.m. Public Policy Committee, which I chair, starts at 9 a.m. on those days. So you can jump in and jump out. Our meetings sometimes last till 3-4 in the afternoon. So you can check in.
Important stuff. Karen Caesar, member of the governing board of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District. Karen, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. I love talking about water. It's so important.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. This portion of the news, the Buckmaster Show, presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Here's a tip from Green Things. Water twice a day when we're over this 110 during this really, really hot spell. The plants, especially if they are in pots out on the patio, make sure they get some water in the morning and again in the evening, and water down the pot as well, because very stressful time for the plants. Go to greenthingsaz.com for more information. Let's go now on the live line. State Senator Steve Smith is with us, and Senator Smith has announced he is a candidate as a Republican running for Congressional District 1. That is the seat that is now held by the Democrat Tom O'Halloran, who is a freshman congressman. Senator Smith, how are you, sir?
Bill, it's an honor to be on. Thank you, sir. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing very well. You were back in D.C. Was that part of, well, you're hoping that you'll be back in D.C. at the end of next year looking for a residence to live.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, but no, we had a great trip in D.C. Unfortunately, of course, the week started off on a tragic note with the shooting at the baseball game, and but it was I was at the game the following night, and boy, the energy there, it was the largest turnout they ever had. They raised the most money for charity they ever have, and what a show of bipartisan unison. The Democrats won, but at the end of the game, both leaders stood up and they said, "Hey, this is for Representative Scalise," and they gave the trophy over to the Republicans, and they're going to put it in his office until he gets better. And so it was just a great night, but of course mired in that tragedy from early in the day, earlier in the week.
Why did you decide you were first elected, I believe, a state senator from the community of Maricopa? You were elected in 2010. Now you have decided to put your hat in the ring for Congress. What was behind that decision, Senator Smith?
Well, you know, Bill, I mean, for years people have asked me to run for Congress, and I always said, "You're crazy, not interested. Washington is its own little beast. We'll just take care of Arizona just fine." You know, but this year was something different. You know, my wife actually came to me and said, "You know what, I think we really need to look at it now." And we just believe it's God's timing and his will, so we're going to step out in faith and do it. And so and once we made that decision, though, have we come a long way. We just literally announced about 3 weeks ago, but we've piled up endorsements from Arizona congressmen to national figures to local figures, and we just have the best team around us, and I think we're very, very strongly positioned. So but to answer your question, yeah, it was a family sit down and a lot of prayer, and we just believe that it's God's calling and timing to do it now, and Lord knows Washington needs a light or help or a fix or whatever you want to call it now, certainly more than ever with what's going on there.
What do you how do you rate Congressman O'Halloran? How has he done in your opinion so far?
Well, you know, unfortunately he voted for Nancy Pelosi to be minority leader, and I just have some problems with that. I think what you're seeing out of Mr. O'Halloran and some of the Democrats, if not many of them, is this lockstep unison, oppose the agenda. So you saw him vote against the health care act to try to reform and repeal and replace health care in Arizona and across the country. Arizona, we know, is the tip of the spear in terms of how poor Obamacare is for our state and our country. What, you know, premiums up 130, 140% in some cases. And so we need to fix this. However that fix is, it needs to come. And for him to just, you know, I think just serve as opposition only, I'm just going to hear to oppose and not offer any amendments or not offer anything to make it better, I think is unfortunate. But I think you need somebody who can hopefully, you know, work and actually achieve things and not just be the loyal opposition.
I know a lot of Democrats are saying that the next congressional run next year will be in a referendum, Senator Smith, on President Trump. Do you see it that way?
I see it as a referendum, all right. I see it as a continuation of the referendum that we just saw about 7 months ago in November. The American people have spoken very loudly and very clearly what they expect of their government and what they want done. And in Congressional District 1, in CD1, where Tom O'Halloran won in November, Donald Trump, when you actually break down the numbers, won the district. You know, if you were to chop it up on how did he do, Donald Trump won that district. So the people of CD1 have said they support the Trump policy. The people of Arizona voted for him, and the people of the United States voted for him. And that policy, I think, is a very simplistic, straightforward to-do list. Number one, rejuvenate our economy. Bring the jobs back. Let the government make the conducive atmosphere that is needed to allow our business, our businesses to flourish. That's what I've done in Arizona. That's what I'm going to do in Washington. But of course, border security, personal safety here at home, and empowering and rebuilding our military, repealing and replacing health care, getting the broken Washington version of the education system out of Washington back to Arizona and the states where they belong. It's those mandates that I think the people put him in office for. And so I think the Democrats still have to understand the referendum that's still out there, and they should not be there opposing what the American people have done every step of the way. When Barack Obama won, all I heard was, hey, the people have spoken. Let's try to work together and get the agenda done that the people want it done. Well, it's a whole lot different now. Trump wins, and now all I hear is resist. Well, you know, what happened to that bipartisan nature 8 years ago when their guy won? And so I think you need to do a lot more than just go and resist. The American people have spoken loud and clear what they want done.
This is a huge district. I believe a District 1 in Arizona, other than maybe the congressional district in Wyoming, is like the largest in the United States. So you've got a lot of ground to cover. And it's a really diverse district in that you have your rural areas, then you have like areas around the Tucson area, north, you've got Marana, Oro Valley, and it goes up then to Flagstaff. It's a huge district. So how do you structure campaigning in a district like this?
Well, you know, when I first got elected to the Senate in 2010, it was the largest district in the state of Arizona. We had about 300,000 people in it, and it's very similar to this now. Mining, agriculture, farming, right? Blue collar, white collar. You kind of had it all, and that's exactly what this district is too. And that district geographically was enormous. And the same thing I did then is the same thing I'm going to do now. Take your message to the people directly and tell them, here's why these ideas are better than the ones that we got that are representing us now. And so, we're a diverse district, and I love it that way. These are the very people that I've represented now for 7 years, all throughout our sprawling district here in the state of Arizona as a legislature. And it's just, it's a little bit bigger geographically, but the mindset is the same. People want government out of their hair. They want, leave me alone. Just make things conducive. Get rid of the regulation. Let me be able to operate my life or my business, whatever it is, with as little interference from you as possible. Fix the things that are important, like education and healthcare, but actually fix them, right? Protect me at home. I don't want people coming over the border or terrorists, you know, putting us on there. You know, I want protection. That's the number one oath. That when we take the oath to protect the people of our country, that's what they want. What I'm going to give them.
Were you the first Republican in that district that you represent in many, many years?
Yes. When I first got elected in 2010, I ran in a Democrat district. And everybody told me, even my own party, well, you're crazy. You can't win in that district. They've never lost that seat. And not only did I win it, we won it pretty handedly. and I became one of the youngest senators in Arizona history. And not only that, but to answer your question, yes, I became the first Republican senator in that district in about 100 years.
Oh, wow.
And so, you're right, it was since statehood.
Oh.
We had, I think, one Republican senator in there when the state was, birthed in 1912, and then me. So, and this district looks the same, too. And so we want to take that, I call it common sense politics.
All righty.
Lord knows there's enough things we can disagree on, but many of these things, when you talk about healthcare and education and the economy, many of them, if you just threw your party affiliation out the window and just said, let's have a reasonable discussion, how would you think is the best way to secure our border or to promote economic viability? Most of us would agree on these things.
All right, Senator.
And it's that same mentality we're going to take now.
Senator Steve Smith, running for Congress, do you have a website for the CD run?
Yes, sir. It is stevesmithaz.com. There's more than one Steve Smith out there.
All right, Senator Smith, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Bill, I have a major, major endorsement that we just got as well.
It's
going to be out in about a week, and I'd love to be on with you in the future to discuss it.
We will. We'll do it. Thank you very much. Steve Smith with us on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of Buckmaster presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great getaway from our really blazing temperatures, because things are more moderate when you get up to about 6,000 to 7,000 feet elevation. Only a 3-hour drive over to Silver City and Grant County. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. The full listing of the great places to stay and the many things to do. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Then tomorrow morning, we do 3 hours of local talk from 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you, and Ray Allen. Have a great afternoon and evening.